Okay, so a little bit about the relationship between Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos. And as I said, to try to identify a cycle that's being taught to us here that's very, very important for Avodas Hashem in general and for understanding all these parshios. Meaning of this week's parsha, we're told, Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elov, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem, Yudke Vovke. Voyirel Abraham el Yitzchak el Yaakov, Bekel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lohem. So, sounds like a very, very deep beginning of the parsha. We're identifying here the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being told that to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I only introduced myself as Kel Shakai. But to you, I'm Yudke Vavke. I'm Hashem. Now, first of all, is that true? Shame of Yudke Vavke doesn't appear anywhere in Bereishis in regards to the Avos? It's not true. We see the shame of Yudke Vavke appearing. Hashem appears to Yaakov. It doesn't say Kel Shakai. So it doesn't mean that the Torah never used the term until now, and by Moshe Rabbeinu, all of a sudden, it's going to be the first time using the term. But Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are in Hagos. Everything in the world is built upon Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban even writes in his Hakdama to Bereishis that the entire Torah is Shemos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shemos are the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. Because Yonah, your essence is not Yonah, but your name is Yonah. That's how you interact with the world. If someone wants to make reference to you, they say Yonah. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, though, a name is not just a way to identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a name represents a hanhaga. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have no shaychus to his essence. The only shaychus we have is to the way that he interacts in the world, when he shows himself, when he acts in a certain way. And we have names. The Medrash says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, when I'm doing din, so then I'm Elokim. And when I'm doing rachamim, so then I'm yudkei vovkei. And it goes through, when I'm fighting on behalf of Klal Yisrael, then I'm Kel Tzivakos. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has different names, and those names represent how he interacts with the world. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu being told here? That regarding the Avos, I operated with the name Kel Shakai. And when I'm interacting with you, I'm using the Shem Yud Kevavke. What is the teaching? What is the message here for us? And what was the message that Moshe Rabbeinu was getting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the difference between the name Kel Shakai and the name Yud Kevavke? So Shakai, or I'll say the real word, Shaddai, Chazal teach us, means Sh'omar li'olamo dai. He said to the world, enough. We know that the world began from a small point and expanded, 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 right? What do we call that? Big Bang Theory, right? So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created out of nothing, right? The Big Bang Theory doesn't know where the little thing came from that ended up banging. They start after that point. Somehow, some point, that miraculously had in it the ability to explode and turn into Kol HaOlam Kulo, as we have it today with all the sophistication that we have. Somehow, even if you want to say, oh no, there was a process of evolution. But somehow, the kernel of all of that was contained in some little point. Oh, where'd that point come from? That we're not sure about. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created stuff, and from that stuff emanated everything else in the world. And at a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Die, must speak, enough." Hashem stopped that process of creation from nothing, and then everything came from that. And at a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Enough to the emanation, that's die." Amar li'olamo die. Right? And I don't mean that it's not physically expanding, but in terms of the development of the world, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created a chomer, very, very dark, very thin, called the hiuli. The Ramban says. And from that, which was like the basic matter for everything. And from there, he built everything else. That's the difference in the word Yitzira and Bria. Bria means Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. And Yitzira is to create, to form, to give form to matter. So there was that initial process during the 7 days where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created stuff, but then formed it into the animals, into the plants, into the... Now it's true, there's a separate cheshbon, which is our world... expanding or is it contracting? Some say that, no, it expands and it contracts and expands and contracts. We don't know exactly. Certainly that is a characteristic of our world right now, is that it seems to be expanding. But that's not, we're not talking about that point in terms of creation. In terms of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a certain point said, die, said, stop, enough. Die also represents something else, which is a certain hagbala, which means a limitation. Not now stopping the creation process, but giving rules, right? A family that has no rules, so there's no stopping. You can do whatever you want. When there's rules in a family, it means that there's certain things that are okay, certain things that are not okay. So the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, die, Dani, means that he gave the world certain rules. And our world is one of rules. Teva, nature. There are gvulot to everything. There are processes. There are qualities. There are characteristics of all the different creations. And they don't just morph into each other because there's clear boundaries and there are clear rules of nature that are set up in our world. That is Kael Shakai. Kael means a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kael Shakai means a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the boundaries and the constrictions of nature. To be able to recognize or to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to have a perspective of Him, a viewing of Him within nature, within Teva, that's Kael Shakai. This is what the Ramban refers to as Nisim Nistarim, on our Psukim here. And this was the Hanhaga with the Avos. The Avos were individuals who were able to see within the Teva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kael Shakai, God within nature. And the reason why they were able to see Him that way is because that was the ofen through which He revealed Himself. That was the way that He revealed Himself.
Where do you see the information?
So you'll note that there are no, certainly not in the text of the Torah, there aren't really nisim gluyim. We know we have a medrash about or kazdim, but in the text of the Torah there are no nisim gluyim in Bereishis. Bereishis is a story of a family, a developing family, and the tremendous siyata d'shmaya that they get. Now, you call it siyata d'shmaya, or I call it siyata d'shmaya, but the Ramban calls that nisim gluyim. Like he says, for instance, nistarim. If a tzaddik, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu works it out for him, that it always rains at the right time and his crops grow, is that a miracle? It's not a miracle. But if a person's tapped in, so a person begins to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu within the nature. In fact, Avram Avinu is known for being the one who looked at nature and was able to identify a Kadosh Baruch Hu within nature. Right? It says, however old he was, 3, 40, however old he was looking up at the heavens, he was contemplating the stars, he was looking at nature, and boom, he was able to recognize a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? He saw, the Medrash says, he saw like a fire in a window, not a fire, but a light on in a building. And he said, oh, obviously someone lives in the building. Who else turned on the light? Who lit the candle? Same thing, he looked at a world, and he realized there's a Baal Bayis in this world. Just like there's a Baal Bayis in the house, if you see a light on, there's obviously someone in the house. Right? We're not talking about you have electric lights and you can set it on a Shabbos clock. And you have to light a candle. If you see a light burning in the house, it means there's somebody there. Someone lit the candle. He looked at the world and he said, what? It's Pashit. There's obviously somebody who's in here. There's a Baal Bayis here. That's why the Nazir, the Talmud of Rav Kook, says that Avram Avinu, I saw this in the Talei Chaim, he quotes this, that Avram HaIvri is called HaIvri. Why is he called the Ivri? Because he was able to see Me'ever. He was able to see beyond. He was able to look at something natural and see behind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We call Avram HaIvri because we say the whole world was on one side and he was on the other side. He stood up against the world. And that's true also. Everybody else saw a world of Teva. And Avram HaIvri stood on the other side and he said, no. I see something else. I'm able to see Me'ever. I can see that there's something deeper here. That was the Giloy of Sefer Bereishis. But in Sefer Shemos is a story of Yud Kei Vav Kei, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself Begiloy Mamish. He's not hidden within nature, but he reveals himself in a very bolate, in a very obvious, explicit way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals His glory, His presence to the world. And this was the role of Moshe Rabbeinu in order to bring this message to the world. We have in this week's Parsha. Lochein, Emor Livnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem. What's your message? Because I'm revealing myself to you as Yud Kei Vav Kei. Boom, the Sneh. Here you have a non-natural event. A fire is burning and it's not consuming the bush. Unlike Avram, who would see a fire and see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the fire, the Giloy to Moshe Rabbeinu is a fire me'ala teva. It's a fire and yet it's not burning. Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu beyond teva, and he says to him afterwards, Ani Hashem. And what's your job going to be? Lochein. Therefore, what's your job? Emor livnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem. Go bring this message to Bnei Yisrael. And if Sefer Bereishis is a book of yechidim, of individuals, finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu and a hidden Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world, Sefer Shmos is a story about a nation. Bereishis is a story about individuals. Shmos is a story about a nation. And it's a nation that experiences Hashem, Bigalui. Bereishis, individuals experiencing God secretly, privately, hidden in nature, seeking God out of nature. Shmos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself, Bigalui, revealed to a nation. And in fact, it's Meduyak in the Pesukim. I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bekel Shakai, but my Shmi Hashem lo nadati lohem, to them, to those individuals. They didn't experience Yud Kei Vav Kei. And therefore, Lochein, Emor Livnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem. Speak to the nation. By the Avos, it was Lohem, individuals. These individuals didn't get this experience, Yud Kei Vav Kei. But Emor Lohem, say to the nation, Ani Hashem. And that's the Tafkid of the Sefer. Only the Am, and that's what happens in Sefer Shmos, we become a nation. A bunch of slaves leave, go to Matan Torah, receive the Torah, and boom, they become the Goy Kadosh, the Am Segula. We become a nation in this Sefer, and as a nation, we have Shaychus to Yud Kei Vav Kei, to the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Theoretically, we could stop here. We got a very important Yisod. Bereishis is about Yechidim, it's about Hashem hidden in Teva, and Sefer Shmos is about a Giloi Tuinam. It's about a nation that's going to carry the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with them. Yisrael, Hashem's name is in our nation. And we're going to be those ambassadors who bring to the world the message of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just in nature, but he's something that is a revealed, real force in the world that everyone should have a shaychus to see. But it's deeper than that. Because the truth is that Sefer Shmos ends with returning back to Sefer Bereishis. What do I mean by that? The Ramban writes in that same piece that the purpose of the Nisim Gluyim was not just to be Nisim Gluyim, because you're probably sitting here wondering, like, what's he talking about? Our nation doesn't run around the world doing Nisim Gluyim. We don't live in a world where Hashem's glory is revealed. Isn't God still hidden? I don't understand what happened. Bereishis was hidden to Yechidim. Comes along Shmos, revelation of Yudke Vavke to the Am. Okay, so what happened? Why are we back plunged into a reality where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden? Shouldn't we be taking the baton, running with it, and be the ones who are revealing the glory of Hashem in the world? Where is that? I don't see that. And that's because the story doesn't end in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. The story continues. At the end of Sefer Shmos, we go back to a hidden God. Yitzias Mitzrayim, miraculous. Kriyas Yamsuf, more of a Giloy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Already, by the way, in the Makos, we said this last week, in the Makos, Hashem says, why am I doing all this? Ki ani Hashem b'karev haaretz, to show that I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm here. Ki ani Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. But after Yitzias Mitzrayim, it doesn't end with Yitzias Mitzrayim. What comes next? Kriyas Yamsuf, the greatest revelation up until then of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ra Shivcha Alayam, Ma Shalo Ra Yechezkel Ben Buzi. The Shivcha Alayam, even we learn in the Gemara in Ksubis, even the Ubaros B'mei Iman were singing Shira. Such a giloy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole world. And yet it doesn't end there either. From there we go to Matan Torah. And in Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself in the greatest way. He spoke to an entire nation, not just to Moshe Rabbeinu. He spoke to the entire nation, and everybody saw the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If anything, there's no other event in history that represents a greater Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And yet, after Mamad Har Sinai, we build a Mishkan. And the Mishkan, all of a sudden, and that's the end of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Truma, Tzaveh, and the end of the Sefer, is us building the Mishkan. What is the Mishkan? The Ramban tells us the Mishkan is a place to perpetuate Matan Torah, to continue that Gilui of Matan Torah. But you'll note that the Mishkan is a very, very private affair. The Medrash compares it to an apirion, a canopy, that says that there that the I once spoke at a DRS Shabbaton, at a Shalvim Shabbaton that was in DRS and spoke about this Medrash, I think. That when a king has a daughter, and she's the queen, I mean, she's the princess, so when she's little, she like walks around, and they're taking pictures of her, and she's like, everyone knows, like, the princess. But as she gets older and she gets more refined, so he builds her an apirion, a canopy, and she's carried around in like one of those, you know, like canopies for a princess. And then you don't get to see her so often. Why? So the Medrash says that represents the building of the Mishkan. That's a deepening of a relationship. A fake relationship is one that's very external. I spoke with someone in the Shir actually about this a week or two ago. He said some guys in the Shir, he said, seem to have like a very external, loud relationship with Rebbe. It's loud. And other people seem to have a more private relationship, a more quiet relationship. They talk, but it's not. And I said, really, which one do you think is the deeper relationship? Which one do you think is the more superficial relationship? The loud one? Or the one that's more private? Discussion here and there. Talk. Clearly a relationship. I've always thought, obviously it comes in different places. But if a guy who needs to tell his girlfriend out loud, he has to write on his Facebook page, I love you, you're the greatest thing ever. To me, that shows a certain superficiality to a relationship. If people have a real relationship, a deep relationship, they don't need to broadcast it on Facebook. It's something that they understand. And I know I'm joking around, I'm talking about a boyfriend and girlfriend, but I want you to realize that when you get married, that a relationship between a husband and wife doesn't need to be something that's broadcast. It's something that's private. Some of the deepest relationships are not necessarily the people who walk around always hand in hand, giving each other a kiss in front of everybody. That's not necessarily the sign of a deep relationship. In fact, that might be the sign sometimes, not always, of superficiality. Someone could say to their wife, I love you, and it's just like a statement. It's like saying Baruch Hashem, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just part of my vocabulary. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. But there's a person who really means it, and there's something there. And the Mishkan represents that the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was originally on Matan Torah and was out there in public, and again, I'm not saying it was superficial, Chas V'Shalom, but there is a certain nature of a relationship when it's private. And all of a sudden, the Mishkan represented the Shechina being contained in a place. In a place, Kodesh Kedoshim, in fact, that nobody is able to go into except for the Kohen Gadol. So it's a real return to a hidden Kedusha. And that perhaps is a certain progression that takes place in Sefer Shmos. It begins with the Makos, and Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and there's a Shviras HaTeva, a breaking of Teva. And from there we go to Maimon Har Sinai, and Maimon Har Sinai takes us another level up, where we actually get a glimpse of the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see something, not only do we break Teva, that was the first step, a breaking of Teva, but beyond that, we get to see even deeper. We get to go up to Shemayim, Kaviyachol. The Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, was the breaking of Teva. Mamad Har Sinai was to go up and to see way beyond. And then the Mishkan was bringing that and bringing it down to the world. We spoke about this earlier in the year, about inspiration. That sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you an inspiration, a lightning strike, and you get to see way beyond what you're roi for. But then what happens? What do we say? He takes it away from you. And now you need to make it a reality down here in this world. The Makos, as we said, was a Shvira of Teva. Maimon Har Sinai was a perspective of way beyond us. And then after that, the Mishkan was bringing it back down. And that, I think, is what we're aiming for. So also in the Talich Chaim, he says that that's Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. That's the progression of the Shal Shur Golem. Pesach is the Makos, it's the breaking of Teva. Shavuos is going up to Har Sinai and getting a glimpse beyond. But Sukkos is bringing it back down to this world. It's the Hashras HaShechina back in this world. It's bringing Shechina back into this existence. And that's the purpose, that's the Tachlis. That's why Hashem revealed Himself as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Not because we're going to live a life of Gilui Mamish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we want to go back to Sefer Bereishis. We want to go back to God that's hidden in the world. But this time He's not hidden and only Yechidim can see Him. This time He's hidden, but we all can see Him. Shmos gave all of us the ability that even if we're not Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that we can also experience Kel Shakai. We can also see God in our lives. And I want to give you an example of something that happened to me last night that to me, I don't know, maybe to you this won't make such a, but to me this was like, I mamish felt that Hashem Baruch Hu was like in the room with me. And it has to do with me preparing the shir. Okay, yesterday I gave you guys shir on tefillah and I quoted for you this Gemara in Shabbos. Amar of Yossi, Yechelki migomri halal b'chol yom. Shabbos kuf yud ches. So Gemara says, really? It's good to be someone who finishes halal every day, but we're told, Amar Mar, Hakori halal b'chol yom, Arizim mechari from a gadef. It's blasphemy. So some people say, like, it's blasphemy? So I said to you, we're not going to discuss it right now. Because I didn't really have a clarity at that moment while we were giving shir, like, why is that considered mechari from a gadef to say halal every day? What's the great blasphemy saying halal every day? And then the Gemara ended up saying, okay, so when it's said that it's good to say halal every day, it's talking about Pesukei Zimra. It's talking about the halalukas that we talked about yesterday. But why is it mechari from a gadef? So I said, I think, oh yeah, we'll have to look it up. We'll talk about it another time, not for now. I'll have to look it up, mechari from a gadef. So I didn't look it up. But last night, I was saying, like, oh, you know, I'm really feeling so well. Maybe I won't give shir, maybe I will. Hey, let me read through a sefer or two. Let me see, you know, if something comes up that I'd like to speak about. So I opened up Talich Chaim, and I was reading through it. And I'm reading through the piece, and a lot of it was this Ramban, and it was stuff I was familiar with. And I was going to close it, and I said, you know what? Let me take another 5 minutes. Let me just finish the piece. And he's also very wordy sometimes. So I thought I picked up, like, the main part. But I said, you know, let me read to the end. Sure enough, the last paragraph of the piece, he quotes this Gemara. And he says, why is it Mechari from a Gadev? That was my question. I gave shir in the afternoon. Apparently didn't prepare well enough because I forgot to look into a little bit why the Gemara calls it Mechari from a Gadev. I let it go. And that night, not sure, should I read the Sefer or not? He asks this question. And the question is going to answer up the shir I want to talk about today. So not only does it answer up what I want to talk about today, it fills in the piece from yesterday. I literally turned to my wife. I said, like, there is a God. There is a God. So what did he say? He says as follows. He quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know why it's Mechari from a Gadev? And this is actually the yisod of, you're going to see it. It just connected everything. Why is it blasphemy to praise, to say Hallel every day? Because Hallel is an expression, it's reserved for God when He reveals Himself begalui. A person who says Hallel every day is denying, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that God exists within nature. Denying that there's a hidden God. Someone who says Hallel every day means, I'm a person who sees God begalui. But what about seeing God behister? What about seeing a hidden God? You only see a revealed God? That's a person who says Hallel every day. And that's blasphemy. Because the purpose of Sefer Shmos was not just to give us the Nisim Gluyim. But as the Ramban writes, that mitoch the Nisim Gluyim, you realize the Nisim Nistarim. You see the hidden miracles because of the revealed miracle. It's like that mashal I gave you with the spinning arm last week. That at that moment, when the person stopped spinning their arm, you realize that it was them who was spinning their arm the whole time. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, it taught us not that He could split the sea. That's the first level. Yes, God can break nature. That's Pesach. But there's also a Shavuos and there's also a Sukkos. Sukkos bringing the Shechina back down to the world is a realization. After I see that God can split the sea, I realize that it's Him who's always making the sea doing its normal job. I see the Yabasha B'Sochayam, and from that I realize that even B'Sochayam there's always the Yabasha. And if you look in the Pesukim, the Chassidim, I think, point out that at first the Pasuk says, B'Yabasha B'Sochayam, and then it says B'Sochayam B'Yabasha. Why? Because sometimes first you need to see the dry land within the ocean. You need to see that splitting of the sea. But from there, the purpose is to connect the dots and to realize that there's always Yabasha, even B'Sochayam. Even when you just see Sochayam, you just see Yam, Hashem's running that as well. And that's the purpose of having gone through Sefer Shmos, to bring us back to Sefer Bereishis. To realize that now as a nation, we were seen, God's creating the world, God's running the world. If Hashem pulls back the curtain and shows you like it's me, I'm running the world, and then He closes the curtain again, you don't forget that He's the one who's pulling all the strings. Once you know that there's a puppeteer, so then from then on, whenever you see a puppeteer, you know there's a puppeteer. You don't think like, oh, maybe that one puppet show had a puppeteer, but this puppet show, those puppets are really moving on their own. No, once you understand how it works, you realize that there's somebody running the show. Sefer Shmos was that one time in history when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself so that we would always realize that He's behind the scenes. And a person who can't realize that's Mechayev Megadev. If he only has a perspective of Hallel every day, I'm only willing to praise Hashem each day for the Geluyim things. But I'm not willing to say, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, V'Anaflo Secha V'Tov Secha Shebechol Eis, Erev Voker V'Tzarayim. That's what we say in Modim. And that's the goal. So we're a nation that began with a Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it didn't end there. We internalized that message so that through the rest of our lives we could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu daily in every event and everything that happens. So we should be Zoch as a nation that we shouldn't just experience tremendous things. We have to learn the messages of those tremendous things and implement them in our lives so that throughout our lives we're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Erev Vavoker V'Tzarayim. Have a great Shabbos.